Okay, so say that again.
What did I say? Smooth.
Yeah. So, well, we were talking about salerophilia, right? And salerophilia is a sexual fetish that involves deriving erotic pleasure from soiling or disheveling the object of one's desire, usually an attractive person. Now, we don't want any trolls, you know?
Yeah.
It may involve tearing or damaging their clothing, covering them in mud or filth, or messing their hair or makeup. The fetish does not involve harming or injuring the subject, only their appearance. And so what I said was, there's like got to be a fine line between the enjoyment and then that imaginary line that you cross where it gets into like degradation and like maybe anger or like misogyny, you know? And I both sides are probably overly aware of the tone of the situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I like it, I love it, na 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 na.
Say that.
I like it, I love it.
Oh, the Sing. Dumb country song today. I forgot about that. I told you I didn't even like that song. So I don't like it, I don't love it, I don't want no more of it.
Don't try to live your life in one day. Don't go squeeze your time away. Na 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 na. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. So, as you can tell, I'm probably driving. I'm probably going up and down the highways and byways of the tri-state area, just running eyeballs to a box of eyeballs to the through TSA, putting them on a plane for Denver. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be implanted again. And putting brains on planes. When I went out to Laguna de Tatas for Memorial Day, I ran into old Steve out there. A buddy of mine works out there. He's like, Michael. He goes, you still doing that thing you're doing? I'm like, what? He goes, the body parts and stuff. I'm like, body parts? He's like, and then anatomy. I'm like, oh, yeah. Putting the brains on planes. I'm still putting brains on planes. And everything in between. Taking blood from point type A to point type B. Although lately I've been trying to tailor my schedule, my pickups, my routes and stuff like that. Alongside good food, like wherever I go, I used to go to UC Davis more often, the hospital, UCD Med Center, and I went there the other day. Matter of fact, it was yesterday, and I thought I had to take a lab out there, and it dawned on me, oh shit, they've got those chicken sandwiches. And their pizza is pretty good, you know. I mean, hospital food is pretty awful usually, which is so odd because it's like there's this place is filled with doctors, like trying to keep you healthy, and then you go into their cafeteria and it's like, but it looks as though you're trying to poison us. But UCD Med Center is they've got a pretty decent little setup in there. They make these chicken sandwiches. You don't even need to put anything on them. Like, they're just straight grilled. They're like, oh, and they're on like a little sourdough type of roll of some sort. And I don't know what it is about them, man, but I crave them fortnightly. And their pizza's like, their pizza's really good. It's a variation of other, you know, like pizzas, to me, pizza's like sex, you know? All pizza's good pizza, you know? Any pizza's good pizza, right? But pizza's, if you can get pizza, man, you're doing all right. So eat up. But this is an episode about fetishes. Well, furries in particular, but also kind of the fringe type fetishes and stuff. Fetishes have always fascinated me, you know? What triggers them? What is it about them? I mean, are they fun? Is it something compelling to the person that's kind of taking part in them? I would assume, you know, what is the trigger? How do you get exposed to fetishes? Why do people have them? Why do some people have them? Some don't, you know? Why is it mostly guys? Guys are just fucking, especially white males, they're the fucking weirdest of all, you know? So naturally they're like the highest percentage of fetishes. They're the ones sucking on toes and stuff like that, which I do not get. I do not understand. But so I did a little interview and I found me a furry to talk to who can kind of give me at least a glimpse into the inner workings of the mind as far as what goes on with fetishes and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, there's a lady on Amazon who she writes Bigfoot porn. And I don't know if this qualifies as a fetish, but she digitally writes. I mean, they're all downloadable books. They're all digitized. There's nothing in paperback or hardback or you know, there's nothing, there's no tangible copies. It's just all digital on Amazon. But I heard she makes like a six figures on these people downloading this shit. Does that fall in the realm of fetish? Bigfoot porn. Like, you know, there I was doing dishes and I looked out the kitchen window and saw an Australopithecus just emerging from out of the woods, and I said, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, take me right now, Bigfoot. Smells like Bigfoot's dick. And so people, well, beyond just the fetish side of things, like the inner workings of the mind around that, like, fascinating. Like, I should just sit in on like a psychology course when they're talking about that kind of stuff. You know, there's got to be some kind of scientific statistical paper trail that leads to what causes them, why they do them, why, you know, is it something done in perpetuity? Is it something you'll always have with you? Do you ever relinquish it? Do you ever get tired of it? Does it ever phase itself out? But I grabbed me a furry. I found me a furry. And the whole time she was right under my nose. So I give you, without any further ado, the interview with the furry. Take it away, baby.
Like that long.
Yeah. Yeah. Bombardment.
Bombard me.
Okay. So, tell me what you just told me.
Well, you said that there was a percentage of furries that are Christian, and I guessed 5%.
I said it was 23.6% of furries identify as Christian. Almost a quarter of furries identify as Christian. Mm-hmm. And I asked you but what did you say after that? You said,
I think it's innocent because you're really just dressing up like a character. Like, you're not like, oh, 25% of the population is like slaying cats. You know what I mean? Like,
no. Yes, I do. No, actually, 2% of furries are Wiccans.
No. Well, there's got to be the weird ones out there.
Okay. Okay. So,
Okay. No, like you're joking or really?
No, no, I'm serious.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's weird.
So, okay. So what inspires you to adventure into that realm?
I can't explain it. It feels almost like natural. Like it feels fun.
How did you, okay, how were you aware of it or exposed to it or find out about it?
I don't know. When you wore bunny ears, I was like, oh, this is.
Oh, wait a minute. But so how did you equate it to a furry thing? Did you look it up?
Well, yeah, I looked up different costumes and stuff. And I thought, that's, you know, kind of cool and sexy.
You understand what I'm asking you, though? Like, because it's the official, you know, this demographic, they're called furries.
Yeah.
And you said, because I was wearing rabbit ears.
Yeah.
At what, okay, so there had to be like a chain of events then at that point to lead you to like sit down and like research, say, what is it that is enticing me and making me aroused?
I don't look up stuff like you do. I don't look it up. Like, I just.
Okay, but how did you come across the term furry? Where did you.
I think you brought it up to me, didn't you? And then when I seen you in the bunny ears, I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's. Okay, so you pieced it together. I was probably talking about it before that.
Yeah. Probably.
Okay, well.
And then I seen you and I thought, oh man, I wish you could wear those every day.
Audrey has them now.
Does she?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, get ready to get your mind blown.
Okay.
Because I've got an article here.
Okay.
Nine questions and excuse me, about furries. Okay. Nine questions about furries you were too embarrassed to ask, right?
Okay.
And it's an article. And so it says, okay, according to this now, furries are people with an interest in anthropomorphized animals, which means they have a knack for, or a thing for, officially speaking now, this is what they're into, anthropomorphized animals are like Sonic the Hedgehog, like that take on human characteristics, right? An animal that takes on human characteristics, right?
Okay.
So Sonic the Hedgehog, or, you know, another example is Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I was just thinking about.
Oh, you dirty little furry. And so they've come in for a lot of ridicule over the years from posters on sites like. On sites like Something Awful, I've never heard of, and 4chan, which they're all weird. 4chan is where all the what do you call those, the QAnons hang out at, on 4chan, right? Okay. So, so many weird people. Okay, so mainstream press accounts tend to portray furries as sexual fetishists. Now, would you concur with that?
With me?
No, no. Would you concur with that? That it?
Yes.
They're portrayed as a fetish.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That's a yes?
That's a yes.
Okay. United by common interest in sex and animal costumes. Is that, now did you also equate that to as part of the experience?
No, I just looked up pictures and I didn't really.
Okay. So you didn't imagine like the act of sex in the costume then, maybe?
Well, that show that we watched on about furries a long time ago, remember we watched in...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That lady wanted her boyfriend to be a furry, and he was super anti. And then he bought his own costume and went along and started having sex with women, remember? And then she busted him, and she broke up with him because he was doing it without her. He was going secretly when he was staying home, and she was working.
Wait, was that on, like, a... Like one of those like
little documentary things, yeah.
Oh.
My weird, my strange
addiction
or something. Yeah, it was on something.
It was like on that. One of those?
Uh-huh.
Furries.
Yeah.
We should find that on YouTube. I'll bet it's on YouTube
somewhere. Oh, yes.
Okay, so dig this. So check this out. Uh-huh. This is going to blow your mind. But survey evidence suggests, and there's a complete anthropomorphic research center. There's an anthropomorphic research center, okay? The survey suggests a lot of these stereotypes are wrong. Very few furries think sex in animal costumes is a good idea, for instance. And here's a brief guide to the furry community, which hopefully can clear up some of these misunderstandings. Number one, so being a furry means you run around in a fur suit all the time, right? Do you think that?
All the time, no.
Okay. Well, then you're kind of, you're on the right track. So what they call, it's called fursuiting, okay? Okay. Fursuiting and the furry community tend to be conflated in the popular press, but research by the International Anthropomorphic Research Project. There's a whole research. You should join that project. You should get. I wonder if they dress up like aardvarks when they go to work for the Anthropomorphic Research Project. Like, okay, which studies the furry fandom? Like, that's what they study. Okay. Furry fandom.
That means they probably go to parties and stuff like that just so they can do scientific stuff.
Probably. But it suggests fursuiters are a minority. Of that community. So a 2007 survey found that only 26.4% of respondents at a furry convention reported owning a fursuit and 30% reported wearing one.
That's low.
Yeah, so... Okay, so it gets weird. So you immediately have to think like, well, so...
Why do they have them?
Yeah, if you're not dressed, why are you here?
Okay.
Okay? Like if only 30% are actually wearing the suits... I don't think that's right.
That can't be right.
So a 2014 survey found that tails are the most commonly owned fursuit component.
Okay.
And
tails?
Tails, yeah.
Probably ears.
With 48.1% of respondents at Furry Fiesta 2014 reporting owning a tail. Fuck yeah, it's almost half. Y'all got a tail? Yeah. Only 13% reported owning a full suit. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Yeah.
While 34.3% reported wearing any clothing or accessories associated with the furry persona or fursona. Okay. More on that in a sec. Okay. So I'm calling full bullshit on all that. Because what you in your mind you're identifying as a furry.
And then not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So you're hanging out with people that...
furries, but they're not one.
Only 30% of people at your party are wearing an aardvark suit, right? And you and the rest of them, you're just standing there in like your regular clothes? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. is being a furry just a sexual fetish? And you said...
No.
Correct. Well, according to this... No, though, like with any other fan interest, video games, comics, etc., okay. You see where this is going.
Yeah.
There are sexual themes present, while sexual activity with other furries, known as yiffing.
Oh my gosh, that's a word.
After the sound foxes make during sex. Yeah, I bet that's the most popular costume is a fox.
Probably if a girl's wearing it.
As part of the subculture for some, others maintain a non-erotic interest in the subject. Bullshit. Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that. Are you kidding me? You just want to identify as a fucking raccoon? No. No, you don't.
What do you want to do then?
You want to wear a raccoon suit. You're not just like, well, I identify as one. Like, well, you're wearing a cheap trick t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, you're wearing a fucking Forever 21 fucking V-neck.
But see,
but you're telling me you're a raccoon?
If I went to a convention like that, like, I would probably wear at least a big head of something. And then maybe wear something cute, like lingerie stuff. But I would totally wear, like, a big head of something.
I'd wear an aardvark suit. Okay, so it says, others maintain a non-erotic interest in the subject. Furries are typically subject to media portrayals that overemphasize the sexual aspect of the fandom. Blah, blah, blah. Furry Josh Strom explained to Boing Boing's Lisa. I don't know what any of that is. It must be some magazine or something. We go to conventions to hang out with friends, maybe buy something like art or badges. They're fucking sending you down a rabbit hole is what they're sending you down. They're putting you off the scent. This response to this magazine reporter... is they're throwing you off the scent because that's a fucking lie. I guarantee fucking to you. So he says, swing. Okay, so maybe Maybe buy something like art or badges. Yeah, right. Go to discussion panel or see a show. Swinger parties and fetishes are there, but that's not what the fandom is about. And the focus on sex and fursuits is particularly wrongheaded. For one thing, only a small minority of furries own full fursuits. I think that to me is the only reason to do it.
Right.
I
don't know how they could fulfill what they as a furry if they don't even own a costume.
That's what I've been scratching my head over. But for one thing, only a small minority of furries own full fursuits. For another, as Plant points out, nearly all fur suitors will make it explicitly clear that sex in your fursuit is completely undesirable, not arousing, damaging to the suit, and not something that they're interested in doing. Now, I get that. I get, because that really could take on a, like, you got to start adding, like, components and stuff, you know? So it really becomes more of a labor. So a survey at Furry Fiesta 2013 found that 96.3% of male respondents and 78.3% of female ones reported viewing furry pornography. What the fuck is that? And I want
90-something percent of men?
Uh-huh. Which is, I mean, that's probably the average for any type of porn, regardless. I mean, okay. I'd say 90% of men just watch porn. And then 70-something percent of women, I would guarantee. But yeah. But what the fuck is furry porn? What is it, dear? Tell me. Have you watched furry porn? Have you looked?
No.
What is it?
No, I don't know what it is.
Is it a dude in a turtle suit wearing a Clit Pump 2000?
Oh, my God.
Ready to... You got a jackhammer?
No, that's what you watch.
He's ready to start the revolution in his turtle suit. Okay. So... Furry pornography, which, it should be noted, is a broad category and typically quite similar to regular porn, albeit with furry traits added. Okay, so...
Like a head or something, or a tail.
Oh, that's what it is. That's mm-hmm. exactly what it is. Men reported looking at furry porn 41.5 times per month on average. Jesus.
Dang.
That's 2 out of 3 days. That's 66%.
That's one every day.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of bi-monthly. No, you're right. That's
over one time a day.
Yeah. It's like good. It's like one almost 1.5 times a day.
Yeah.
So, while women reported looking 10.5 times per month.
Hmm.
What is it? I know you're going to jump
that
on.
That might be higher.
I know you're going to look at that once we're done recording here. But they also reported that most of their involvement in the fandom was non-sexual. Men reported spending 34% of their online role-playing time on sexual content, and women reported spending only 21.4%. Nearly half of male furries and a large majority of women reported that sexual content played little or no role in their introduction to the fandom. Yeah, right. So what is a furry then? Okay, so this is where it breaks down, is to say it's the anthropomorphic animal characters like Sonic the Hedgehog and Pokemon.
It
encompasses a wide spectrum from people who are simply fans of TV shows and video games.
Mm-mm.
Nah, fucking that's fucking...
No, dick. Because nowhere in me steers from that.
Exactly. But what is the connection? What is it? What?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with the way that people were able to get away with it before and not quite know what... Maybe the furry thing hadn't come out yet. Where, like, most of women, a lot of young, pretty women, will be cats and stuff like that. And they got a tail and they got ears and everything. You know what I mean? They're like... They really do that whole sexy portrayal of an animal, you know? And that was well out and about and is still popular every freaking Halloween. You're always
subliminally? Kind of subliminally.
I think
the anthropomorphism.
Yeah, I think they didn't know how to express themselves because furries didn't exist back then, you know? So I think watching a a guy like dress up as an animal and stuff like that, that's as probably as close as they can get to feeling whatever they felt, whatever the rush was or the...
I have to believe that the guys wearing the aardvark suits, though, that that kind of... and unless I'm totally wrong, I'm not making the connection, but that their efforts are probably usually unreciprocated. Because, like, who wants to hang out with some dude in an aardvark costume?
I mean, it depends on their swag.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you wore an aardvark costume, I'd probably be all over you. I'm just being honest. Because it's your personality.
So it...
That'd be probably really attractive.
Like, I gotta have that aardvark. Uh-huh. I'm gonna get me a piece of that aardvark. Yeah. I'm going to get that anteater. Get my aunt eaten.
My aunt eaten.
So, okay. So, people who develop a highly specific furry character fursona, they identify with to otherkin who see themselves as not fully human on a spiritual or mental level. See, I think somebody put them together on this. I think the person that giving him this information, of course, if it's coming from an anthropomorphic research center, then they're being put together and they're relaying that bad information. Right, right. There's absolutely no fucking way. It's like...
It just, a lot of it doesn't sound correct to me. Like, the way that I view it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't come from any of that stuff that...
That's where I'm trying to distinguish what your attraction is to it versus what theirs supposedly is. Because for all we know, this could be legit. So why are you down with it? You know?
I didn't realize I was until I saw a couple...
And that's, you know, it's fairly rare too. I think fetishes for women are much rarer.
Yeah, I think it's just...
Why do you think that is?
Costumes.
Because you know where fetishes kind of come from, right?
They come from your fucked up childhood.
Well, probably when you were like going through puberty and you're coming into your own sexually and like you had some kind of event, and it's not necessarily a traumatic event. I mean, unless you're into like weird, like dark shit, right? Like, because how many different fetishes, you know, we were talking about fetishes, like the one where like you crush mice with women's heels. Like, where does that come from?
I don't know, because I don't think that's attractive at all.
Well, exactly, but somebody does, like a foot fetish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a foot fetish. Like, what is it about looking at feet?
I don't know. I like your hands. I love your hands, and I cannot tell you where it comes from. But I do know this. My dad has really small hands, and yours aren't like that, and I love your hands. Like, you have very manly, big hands.
Well... I mean, that probably goes back to, like, our tribal ancestry where, like, the biggest dude was...
But why do I like your hands and not your feet?
Because you access a different part of your brain from your genetic...
See, I don't know.
DNA, but...
It's not been out long enough.
Well, with feet, though, it's usually guys, though, that are more into it, you know? And they like to suck on the toes. Like, what is that? What is that?
I would not want that.
Sucking it on toes. Like, dirty toes.
Too. I would never like ask with toe you jam. To do that to me. Straight out of a 30-minute bathtub. Would never. I do not want my toes wet at all. That's fucking disgusting, actually.
And then there's like the whole pop, like balloon popping. You know, it's yes, got a, and they've all got actual scientific names.
I know, but I don't get that because that's not my thing. So I don't understand it. That's really trying to explain somebody else's point of view. Like, I don't know.
So, like, what happened was, like, you came into your own sexually at, like, a birthday party where there's, like, a bunch of balloons, or you were at, like, the state fair, and, like, there's balloons, or you're somewhere, you're exposed to balloons, right? And you're popping, they're pop, 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 you know? And, like, you just, that day, you just had, like, some kind of hormonal, like, transformation, and the whole time you're watching balloons pop or something. That's what's going on.
No,
so you identify, you connect.
I've tried to figure out why I like hands, and I do check out other men's hands.
That's
no, I'm just saying I don't know why, though. And I did not know that I liked hands. I had no idea. I had never looked at hands before, but when I got a little bit older, I started realizing that I liked certain things that I never tapped into before. you know? Like, I would have never thought I was a hand person. That has never come up in my life whatsoever. But your hands kind of like started the whole.
Where like people get farted on? The ones that get farted on? Like, that's a thing. Like, there's a fart fetish.
Well, yeah, they're shitting on coffee tables too. Like, I think those people are the mental ones.
You think those are like the abused ones?
Yeah, because you've got to feel comfortable in your skin, in your skin, to feel like you deserve to be shitted on. Like, that's some kind of mental something, because no sane person wants to see a butthole opening up and pushing out shit out through a glass window.
That's true. I would say the large majority of people, there's
nothing attractive about that. I don't understand that.
But to them, that see that it's like they're like they were.
It's their thing.
And they were in some kind of like degradation situation. They were vulnerable in some degrading situation. And that was then when they were coming into their own. It tattooed itself into their psyche.
But like that girl Karen, you know, the one that you lived with or whatever.
Oh, the swinger.
Yeah, she. And I've brought it up to you several times, but not on the podcast. But she brought up, remember when we were playing. Something against humanity, I can't remember. Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. And she was talking about how her dad used to pin her down and like try to tickle her, and then she would try not to move and stuff. So it was more of like her trying to have power over being submissive like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And she said that she realizes that she brought that into her her sexual stuff that she did with the person she was with. Like, she just, like, was saying, like, she tries to hold out, you know?
Sure.
And she kind of mastered it a little bit by her dad tickling all the time, but try not to laugh. And that is, that I don't want anything that associates my dad with anything that I do sexually. Mm. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
So I don't get that. And for her to be so outspoken about that, I thought, you probably need counseling. Like, you probably really need counseling, because why does it immediately just go back to your father?
Well, some
and
people...
What does tickling have to do with sex? Absolutely nothing. But there's a...
Well, that was obviously when she was kind of going through maybe a puberty phase or something. Maybe. You know, it's just... But some people, you know what? I think some people kind of leverage it so they could bend it to their own will, right? So they can use it so that it, like, as weird as that sounds, like, you know, like the bondage people, like, mm-hmm. they really master that shit. I mean, you're not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, to do that, if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Like, there's no halfway. You know, right. You know. You're wearing the ball gag.
And you're in for pain.
And you, yeah, like there's, you get a, what do you call it, the safe word or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those people see, something happened to them as well. And so now what they're doing is they're using it and they're bending it to their own will. And then they're mastering it, you know, they're owning it, you know, yeah. Which is, I mean, maybe it's empowering. I don't know. But I don't. Getting back to the furries, I don't think that's what's going on.
No, but do you see how, like, the people did that before, though? Like dressing...
Like, I'll tell you this. There were no furries in the 50s.
For sure, no.
Because they would get their ass beat. Or they would be locked up. Not to say that that's... bad. I'm just saying they were all in hiding, you know. I'm just saying, like, nobody was gonna, like,
well, pretty much everything was in the closet back in the day.
Yeah, like, there's a dude with an aardvark suit in his closet, and he's look, because that he every morning before he goes to work, he looks at that aardvark suit. He's like, someday And then the 60s came along. He's like, I'm going to be an aardvark. So, okay. So, listen to this. So, Dr. Courtney Nuka-Plant, a social psychologist at the University of Waterloo and member of the Anthropomorphic Research Project team. I want to be on that project team. Analogizes furries to other fan groups like comic book enthusiasts or trekkers. It has its origins in the science fiction fandom, he said. If you like comic books with characters who are like animals or artwork with humans with animal traits, those would be considered forms of furry artwork. I mean, if this isn't a put-together, boy, this is some really... I don't know.
I just don't think the general population is like that, of furries.
No, I think they want to get down in a hotel room wearing their costume. They all want to be something else.
At least a head.
They all want to be they're like living avatars.
Yeah.
You know, that's their persona. Well, now it's called their fursona, right? What is a fursona? A fursona is a furry-themed avatar. Oh, here it is. Which furries use to represent themselves when interacting with other members of the fandom. According to a recent paper by social psychologist Plant and a fellow Anthropomorphic Research Project members, Dr. Sharon Roberts and Dr. Stephen Rayson and Dr. Kathy Gerbasi. Nearly every furry has a fursona, Plant said. It's well into the high 90s, 97 or 98%. Creating a fursona involves picking an animal, real or mythical, because I'd be a liger.
Would you?
No. But you know what's funny is I was thinking about Napoleon Dynamite, that movie, today or yesterday, or today, maybe it was on the walk today, on my morning walk. I was thinking, you know what that movie is? Like, you know, it was filmed in Idaho. I don't know. Well, it is. It was filmed in Idaho. And you know what? That's what Idaho looks like. It just dawned on me. Remember when we drove through Idaho?
Yeah.
It looked like Napoleon Dynamite. It just dawned on me, like, that's exactly Idaho. Like, That is what you get in Idaho.
Well, like, I will tell you this. There was something about those rabbit ears that made you look like you were... there was something innocent about you. I don't know what it was, but I remember thinking, like, I could almost take advantage of you a little bit, how I felt when you had those on. It was really weird.
Whoa.
No, I'm just saying.
Just teasing you. Okay. Well, let's see. Fursonas typically have names and are often the inspiration for artwork or fiction. For many, it's just a cutesy avatar to represent yourself to people. Blah, blah, blah. Check this out, though. It says... Number five, can I get a music break? Of course. In addition to visual artists and fiction writers, many furries are accomplished musicians who create work with furry themes or otherwise blend their musical interests into their fandom. And then there's a video link here. This guy's name is Bucktown Tiger, a furry pianist. He's a furry pianist. And there's this dude at a keyboard here just wearing a big tiger costume. Like, what are all these mascots doing? And he's performing a movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Very nice. At Anthrocon. Anthrocon.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds like, oh, it's the world's largest furry convention held in Pittsburgh every year. Whoa. Pittsburgh's got the largest furry convention.
That'd be interesting.
I bet it is artwork and stuff like, I mean, there are some people that are probably... drawn to that, so I don't know. So being a furry isn't really about sex. What do furry fans actually do then? It's all fan art. Looks like fan art, comic book fans. See, that it must be legit. But
I don't know, I don't see it like
that. I think it's a millennial thing too.
It might be with all their what is that called? Their anime stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, the same people that are into anime. Same people that are in, like, Comic-Con.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Dungeons and Dragons.
It's just all a group.
So, yes, it's like sci-fi fandom. If a fan is much more casual, it may be enough to buy the books and watch the movies, but for others, see, it's... Oh!
What?
This is the weirdest part. Dig this. What? Okay. Are furries the same thing as bronies?
What are those?
You don't know what a brony is? You're about to find out. A brony? Okay, so the answer is supposedly no. Okay, but it says... Bless you. But they're not totally disconnected either. Now listen to this. Bronies refers exclusively to fans of the show My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Oh my gosh, I was thinking about a unicorn.
It's My Little Pony.
And you know what else I was thinking about? The
dressing like
guy
that?
That's a man, but a bottom horse.
A minotaur?
Oh, yeah.
Minotaur! But dig this. Originally, it only referred to male fans. Most of them are male. Bronies. That's why they're called brony. They wear My Little Pony clothes. They wear My Little Pony shirts. They kind of like the rainbows and the glitter.
Yeah.
And they're usually extra medium. But the definition's been broadened in practice. Bronies share one basic commonality with furries. They're interested in anthropomorphized representations of animals. Okay. Sure. I mean, isn't that what a furry is? The 2012 survey synthesis found that nearly a quarter of furries identify as bronies. So, like, that to me is like...
That's going back to, like, your childhood or partially wanting to be a girl or something. You're wearing sparkle unicorn stuff. Like, that's not anything that I would be interested in.
That is so weird.
Especially as a male, that would not interest me at all. Wearing little girl stuff, like, do you want to be taken advantage of? Like, do you want to be somebody's innocent little girl? Is that what you're craving? Like, what is that?
But they're all, but it's all dudes.
Yeah, that's so weird. That definitely has something to do with your childhood.
About half of furries consider bronies a subgroup of furriedom. Another 28% say they're related but not a subset. And 22% say there's no connection at all. Oh. Bronies. Okay, so I'll wrap it up here. Surveys. Okay, so what kind of people? It says, what kind of people are furries? What kind of people?
I think the ones that are what they identify as is they want to dress up and be like a character. I mean, look, there's people that dress up like superheroes. Like, what's up with that? Like, you know what I mean? That's a whole nother weird thing too, you know?
But then why do you want to dress up? Because I know you saw my rabbit ears and whatnot, but why do you want to then dress up?
So that I can be the animal. I want to be like a...
You want to be the predator?
No, I don't want to be
You want to be the wolf and I'll be little Red Riding Hood?
I don't know. I might dig that.
I still think we got to be Sunny and Cher, but you got to be Sunny and I'm Cher.
You don't even have any hair.
I know, it's perfect for the wig.
I would look like a weird Sunny. I could probably pull it off now with my hair all slicked back with a fake mustache and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll wear a
Cher wig.
I'll wear a Cher wig and a sequin jumpsuit.
Huh.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Calm down over there. Take it down a notch. Okay. So listen to this. Okay. Here's where all the numbers come in. Here's the stats. What kind of people are furries? What kind of people are these? Surveys suggest that furries are overwhelmingly male and white. Yeah, of course they fucking are. Of course they fucking are.
Is that true?
I'm gonna give you four other white guy names. Okay. John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, Ted Kaczynski and Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, they weren't.
I'll bet they were all fucking furries.
Like hidden furries?
White males are the... You know, we're all the serial killers, right?
I know.
They're all white guys.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we're fucking weird. Yeah, we're like one. We're like 138 and 0. So...
Maybe white people feel inhibited.
White people are screwy. I mean, look at what... Who's doing all these gender reveals, I ask you? White people. So, surveys suggest that furries are overwhelmingly male and white, and overwhelmingly male and white are disproportionately likely to be gay, bi, or trans, and skew younger, with an average age in the mid-20s.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Young people. Millennials. Okay, the 2012 survey synthesis estimated that 79.2 to 85.7% of furries at conventions were male. That would suck, because that sucks for the women. I mean, it's great for the women, but for the guys, it's like there's no women.
Yeah, but you really don't look. You don't know what that person looks like underneath. It could be a short, bald, ugly, hairy little.
I want a little Yoda.
Dude. Yeah, and if he's walking in a Yoda costume and he looks the right size, he probably is not good looking. He probably looks like a bald, hairy munchkin.
Munchkin.
Like, with hair on his back and no hair on his head.
Yeah.
Nothing is sexy about that. But see, you know what? I don't like muscles either.
Yeah.
So I think I was able to like see a little bit of you and then see a little bit of the ears and...
You know what the Comic-Con Star Wars weirdos really get into is Princess Leia in Empire Strikes Back. With yeah. Return of the Jedi, the third movie, where she's like where Jabba the Hutt's got her as a slave girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the Comic-Con geeks love that fucking shit. Oh, that's they weird. Get off on that. And her buns from
right.
The first one. So, okay. All right, about to wrap it up here. We're gonna dig these stats though real quick. So it says 79 to 85% of furries at conventions were male. So,
yeah.
Poor women. And a majority were atheist, 44.36%. God, that's really a... How do you have 44.36% of anything? Or agnostic, 9.47%. 23.19% identify as Christian. That's what I was telling you.
Yeah.
Christian. I'm a furry and a Christian. I'm a furry Christian. 3.9% as pagan, and 1.9% I told you as percent as Wiccan. So you got a couple of witches out there yeah. Riding their brooms to Comic-Con. And 13.72% is other. I'm other. I'm an other.
Yeah.
Identify as other. Convention attendees were a bit older, 24 to 27. On average... Than online furries, which 23 to 25, but in both cases the group skews quite young. Yeah, see, it's just I think it's just a bunch of ravers that just took too much MDMA. Oh, okay. Last thing, this is it. Do furries think they're animals?
I think they can take on, like, being an animal while they're in a costume.
The first sentence and the answer, it's complicated.
That's what it says.
About 1 in 3 furries report feeling not 100% human.
Yeah, I get that.
More human than human, more human. A small fraction, 8 to 14% report meaning this in a physical sense. Like in a physical sense, they don't feel fully human.
That's weird.
That is weird. With many more stating they feel not fully human mentally or spiritually. About 38 to 53% report a desire to be 0% human if they could be.
Yeah, I get that.
I want to be
something different for a day. That would be
I'd want to be a platypus.
Like, I would want to not have to be a human for a day. That would be cool to do that all day at a convention.
So what would you be?
I wouldn't be anything dainty, but then not anything muscular. I would do probably something... I don't even know if I would do anything sexy. You know? Like, cats aren't like a real cat costume. You know, not like Halloween cats, but like a real cat costume. Like, I'd probably want you to wear a cat costume. With a big cat head and everything, with a tail.
Okay.
I don't know what I would be, though. Maybe it'd be the dog.
What about if we were like the foxes from Robin Hood and Maid Marian?
Yeah, that'd work. Do you think they have stuff like that?
It's America.
Would you be Maid Mary?
Oh, I gotta be Maid Marian?
Maid Marian? No, I wouldn't be Robin Hood. It's too manly. It doesn't sound enticing at all.
We should just be like panda bears and we'll just run down the streets of Roseville just knocking shit over. Like the Jackass guy.
Oh my gosh. We should watch that movie.
Oh, yeah, you want to watch pandas, huh? All right. Hey, let's look up, furry porn.
All right. Put it on the big screen.
He put it on the big screen.
On the computer.
Okay. Signing off. Arrivederci, baby. I'm sorry.